Hello, it is the noon business lunch. It's Wendy in for King John today. And let's begin with job expert and founder of the LaSalle Network, Tom Gimbel. Tom, I really would love to be great, and I don't know how to be great. Can you help me out?
Well, luckily,
I'm okay.
You include me in. And Wendy, I'm going to tell you right now, you're already great. So this is—I know you're just—we're just making things up now.
Well, all right. Let me just say, Pete Zimmerman was telling me about this video, which I'm sorry, I'm going to be honest with you, I knew nothing about. So when he explained this to me, I got goosebumps. So I want you to tell the listeners about this, and then let's discuss being great.
Yeah, so it's a video that a guy showed on during the football pregame about Drew Brees, the soon-to-be Hall of Fame quarterback, and they said that he went back to this reporter was in the Saints facilities, and it was 10:30 at night. He had to pick something up, and there was one person, one light on, and it was Drew Brees who was there. And he said, "What are you still doing here at 10:30 at night?" And he said, "Sometimes wanting to be great or trying to be great is lonely."
Ugh. Greater words have never been spoken.
I believe that. And it's funny because, you know, I was always an early in the office person because I liked that downtime when no one was around. I could get part of my work, part of my day done and really move fast to get the day started. And I think you see people now, and it's fewer and farther between due to all the stuff we talk about, remote work and COVID and all that. But when you see people who are there early, and it's so often, or staying late, and you'll see people that'll walk over and they'll go, "Why are you still here? Go home." And it's almost like you're encouraging people to give up on trying to be great.
Yeah, that's true. And I am very bad at time management, so I'm usually last second Wendy. But I like to stay on the tail end of the job. Is that okay too?
Yeah, I think staying late is not are you putting in the time, right? Are you doing it early? Are you doing it late? Are you doing it? Listen, if our jobs are Monday through Friday, are you doing work on Saturday or Sunday? It's about, you know, people have said to me in my life when I've been asked, like, "Oh, you achieved a certain level of success. How did you do it?" And I said, there's only two ways to do it. It's you do what other people are doing. You just do it better. And you do what other people aren't doing.
Yeah.
And putting in that extra time is what other people aren't doing. And it is lonely when you get in the office at 6:30 or 7 in the morning and you're working. Or it is lonely when you're watching people walk out of the office laughing and giggling. Or when you Zoom somebody or ping them on Teams or whatever at 6 o'clock at night and they don't pick up. And you're sitting there, but you're grinding. But it does pay off. I was talking to my niece the other day, and she was working in some jobs, and she wasn't always that happy. She's 26 years old, and she just got a dream job in sports marketing, and she's doing all this cool stuff. And I said, "Don't you get it? This happened because of the work you were doing when you weren't that happy, because life is not always about being happy all the time. It's about paying your dues and learning and grinding, and then the opportunities come."
Yeah, I hate to say this, but there is a lot of truth to paying your dues and working your way up the ladder. A lot of people who, and I don't blame them, a lot of kids have spent a lot of money on college, but you don't just get out of college and get this dream job right away. You got to work into it, right?
Yeah, 100%. Wendy, think about how our perspectives change between school and work. When you're in grade school or high school, I don't know if you have kids. I have three kids, but you see parents all the time, and they're like, "You got to study more. You got to get good grades. It's okay if you don't go to that party, or if you don't get good grades, you're going to study instead of going to the game or doing whatever. It's you got to do more studying." And then when you're in sports, if you have a kid who's playing basketball or football or swimming or any sport, and they're always like, "How proud I am of my kid for the dedication and hard work that they do to be a varsity athlete in high school." Then they get into work and they say, "Why are you working on the weekends? Why are you staying late? Why are you getting in early? That's not fair. Why do you have to commute?" It's like, huh? Everything you were proud of them and taught them up until this, you're now saying don't do? It's crazy.
I think Jarrett Payton signs off his sports on WGN TV News. "Be great, everyone," or "Be great today." And damn it, I'm trying harder. Tom,
as Yoda would say, "Don't try, do."
There is no try. Or wait, do. My husband's going to kill me. Do or do not. There is no try. There we go.
There you go. But you got to do it in the Yoda voice, Wendy. Come on, this radio.
Do or do not. There is no try.
I can't see you up any better than that, Wendy.
That was terrible. I sounded like a camel, a cartoon camel.
I thought it was good.
All right.
I am your father.
Hey, let's watch Star Wars together, Tom. Great to talk to you.
You got it, Wendy. Stay warm.
Okay, Tom Gimbel, job expert and founder of the LaSalle Network. Lauren, you could have done a better Yoda than myself.
I don't know. It's very Grovery.
That's who I kind of sounded like in my own head. All right, I just read Friendly Customer Service, and we're going to talk about that right now. Joining us on the Noon Business Lunch today is Philip Weiss, president of SciFarth at Work, scifarthatwork.com. All right, first of all, Philip, I really loved working customer service at a store called Charles A. Stevens when I was in high school. And that was so fun for me. You always met the customer with a smiling face and helped them out in any which way you could. But now customer service is not really satisfying us, is it?
Yeah, Wendy, and good to be with you. You actually have kind of hit the nail on the head on what appears to have gone haywire in the world of customer service. And it's really been a progression over decades. A lot of people think it's the whole advent of AI and the chat feature. But if you look back to the 70s, only a fraction of consumers reported experiencing a real problem in terms of customer service interactions in the last several months. That number has skyrocketed to almost 80% this year. And the reason has a lot to do with your anecdote from your prior work. The enjoyment factor, the key of making sure your customer service staff is really invested in engaging with customers, patrons, et cetera, that's sort of a lost art. And there's a lot of reasons for it, but it's interesting that your anecdote really puts a great illustration on an issue that a lot of companies are grappling with.
Well, you know, it is funny because being in customer service, again, I was in high school, but still, it's called customer service. And I have found myself trying to get some customer service, and it's almost like they don't even want to talk to me a lot of times, especially in person.
Yeah.
Why? What is that?
It's kind of a 180 about face in terms of where industry was. If you look at training, for example, Wendy, when new employees are trained, whether high school level or they're entering into a full-time customer service role, if you look back the 90s, the 80s, customer service, the mission to serve the community of people that buy your products and service, that was typically day one of a training sequence, because companies knew if we prioritized this set of skills, if we made it the first thing people learned about, they're going to realize we care about it. Now, 30, 40 years later, it's often kind of bolted on to the fourth or fifth day of new employee orientation after operational issues, inventory techniques, understanding rules and regulations. So in essence, a message has been sent to employees that we're going to squeeze this in, and therefore perhaps it's not going to be your number one issue. It's really an interesting phenomenon, and a lot of companies are now taking a second look and saying, have we really been moving in the wrong direction in the interest of more profits, more efficiency, and other priorities?
And I mentioned in-person customer service, but a lot of us have all been on the phone trying to get our router to work or whatever it is we have a problem with. And has there been ineffective customer service examples on the phone end of things too?
Yeah, absolutely. It really runs the gamut. So it's not limited to walking into a store. We actually were helping a company because their own staff was not trained in how to talk about the rights of customers to cancel a digital subscription to a certain periodical. They had customers reading the policy to their employees on the phone to explain why they could cancel, what the refund would be, what the options were. So that's a really telling example, and we've heard it more than once, of employees on the phone lines not being equipped or empowered or being encouraged to solve problems for customers. And of course, I'm sure you've heard this or seen it, Wendy, even finding the customer service number can be a bit of a treasure hunt. So companies are saying to themselves, we need the right people, we need them trained for in-person or phone help, and we need to make sure our customers know we welcome the calls, as opposed to this is not going to be our number one issue.
All right. And you have given us some tips right there about how companies can put customer service first. I'm assuming the old adage, the customer is always right, isn't accurate anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of been thrown by the wayside. And that's been another casualty that probably should be looked at by companies, meaning you can't necessarily refund every customer every time for every purchase. But you get so much more customer loyalty by saying, return it, no questions asked. Now there are algorithms out there, Wendy, so you can tell which customers are probably going to be your serial returners. Potentially.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of information enabling companies to make the right call, build the loyalty, and do the right thing.
All right. And in a little bit of defense of customer service representatives, there are a lot of rude, impatient people out there, too. So it's probably more difficult to handle customers that are unsatisfied now.
Yeah, that's a really valuable point. And if speaking now as a consumer for a moment, it's actually a benefit to take a moment when we're complaining and acknowledge this is a difficult conversation. This is a challenge for the person representing the company. We've experimented with that, and we found that by making that human connection, you're going to get better help. Maybe not perfect help, given the lack of training, but better help, and you'll certainly make that person's day, given what they're hearing from every other irate, frustrated customer.
Right. Philip Weiss, president of Seyfarth at Work, seyfarthatwork.com. I am going to compliment you, and your customer service was fantastic today, Philip. Thank you so much.
Well, you made my day, so I might just switch careers now and get into customer service.
It is the noon business lunch, and I am looking so forward to saying hello to my friend, Steve Burness. Hi, Steve.
Hey. Good afternoon. How you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing great. You know I like to play the drinking game with you, that as soon as you say the tip-off to the rip-off, you do a shot. Right. That's what we do. But now, I'm sure you're going to say it quite a bit, because we're going to talk about the 12 scams of Christmas, right?
Yes, we are. We start off with that. There's a lot of scams coming on, but there's always perennial problems. So this morning, we issued our 12 scams. And leading off the list is our misleading social media ads. And Wendy, we're seeing an increase in those types of scams now on social media targeted towards people, whether it be advertisements or, you know, a little, you know, chat or a little message from somebody. So online scams are still the number one scams at the Better Business Bureau. So we're seeing an increase in that side.
First of all, I forgot to tell you this. Steve is president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau, and I just want to give you accolades about your great customer service, because you guys really do protect the customers out there. You really do.
Thank you so much. We've got a great staff, great team members, and we've almost been doing this 100 years in Chicago.
Wow.
We celebrate 100 next year, so we're excited. Overall, the BBB is 113 years, and we've been protecting consumers, and we protect businesses as well. We started in business, helping businesses first, hence the name Better Business Bureau, and then we moved over to the consumer realm, and then when the private investors came in and all our competitors came in, and we're the only nonprofit that's still doing this today, over 113 years later.
Well, go to BBB.org, listeners, and you can search something before you make a decision on who to use. All right, back to the 12 scams of Christmas. So misleading social media ads, and AI scams are pretty big, too. Explain those.
Yeah, they became a number two this year as well. Scammers are creating videos of celebrities asking you to donate to a cause or to buying a product on social media. You know, remember Oprah sued many companies for people using her likeness and saying that it was her and it wasn't. So you got to make sure that whoever you're following is truly a celebrity endorsement of it. So especially with AI, because AI can create a website now, Wendy, in actually 90 minutes only. So it's pretty quick. They can come up with something pretty quick.
There are so many videos out there, and I can't remember the word that if you see that up on the screen, it's AI. There's this poor overweight woman who they have going down a curly slide and she falls through. Oh. I mean, I honest to God don't know what to believe on the internet anymore.
You got to check out these offers. That's the problem, Wendy, is you don't know what to believe. So instead of people sending you stuff and clicking on it, we want you to do your own research and go to the sites directly. People fall into trouble when they start answering ads or looking at social media posts because you never know who's behind them when you can't really tell, like you said.
I know. It's really, I hate to be bamboozled, and I feel like I'm bamboozled a lot. All right, social media gift exchanges. I imagine this is big around the holidays.
It is, and we're seeing an older version of it called the Secret Sister. A new version now is called Secret Santa Dog, where you buy $10 gift for your secret dog, and then you'll get, you know, 5 or 10 in return. All those types of chain letters are against the law, according to the Postal Service. If anybody says send out one gift, you'll get 10 return. That's the tip off to the rip off, Wendy.
Drink, everybody. All right, holiday apps. We have to be careful.
There's a lot. Yeah, Apple App Store and Google Play list dozens of holiday theme apps where children can, video live with Santa and things of that nature. Just make sure you review those privacy policies, see what information is being collected on your child. Be wary of free apps. They often contain more advertising than paid apps. Free apps can contain malware, too. So you want to make sure who's behind it. A lot of kids just don't realize by getting an app you can do, put some malware or spam on your phone. So we want parents to be aware of their child is doing this and make sure you look at the privacy policy.
We're going through the 12 scams of Christmas with Steve Burness from the BBB. All right, fake texts that say you've been hacked. I just got one saying, change your password on Instagram. Someone is trying to sign in. Here's the link. I just reported it as junk and deleted it. Did I do the right thing?
Exactly. You should do the right thing as well. If you think it's from your local bank or mortgage company, call them directly or go to their website directly. Because sometimes these scammers send it to everybody hoping you have that account. And if you have that account or the account name, you'll like more likely to click on it. So bank accounts have been compromised as well. If you get an unsolicited email, call, text, contact the business directly. Otherwise, it's most likely a scam. And if somebody wants you to do something in 30 minutes, that's the tip off to rip off.
Drink.
And the only thing you should do in 30, the only thing you should do in 30 minutes is buy a pizza.
That's
Everything
right.
else, do the research.
That's right. All right. But I did click on a link that was going to give me a free gift card. Do you think I'll get it?
I don't think so, Wendy.
All right. So don't. Seriously, the links, free gift cards, that free is the key word there, right?
Is the tip off to rip off word. So nothing's free in this world today. So the free is to grab your attention, to catch you, and they want you to click that link. And then you give them all the information, and you wait for your gift card. Guess what? The gift card, like you said, Wendy, is not going to come.
And I just got a text from what appeared to be Indeed.com, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't. And they were talking about a temporary holiday job where I could make $1,000 this week for only working 60 to 90 minutes a day. You think that's real?
Yeah. No, it's not real, unfortunately. So we're seeing an increase. That's number 7 on our list of temporary holiday jobs. Especially the retailers typically hire, seasonal workers to meet the demands of the holiday season. The scammer knows that, so they're getting more elaborate now. So they really put this information about employment, and then they end up being a scam. And guess what? When they're asking you the same information you would as a regular normal job would, like your mother's maiden name, your social security number, your bank account number, and they steal your identity. So it's important to make sure that it's a legitimate organization. Go to the company's website directly or call them. Don't click on those links.
Wendy Snyder here with you, sitting in for John Williams today on the Noon Business Lunch. And we continue with Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois. We're running through the 12 scams of Christmas, and I believe we're on number 8. What do you have for us?
Well, Wendy, we have lookalike websites. So the holiday season brings endless emails offering deals. and bargains. Just make sure that the site you're going on is an authentic site. And it's best to go to the site directly, as I mentioned. People don't realize how many spam websites are out there from the scammers trying to make it look like they're authentic as well. And there's some well-known retailers that have their website, you know, hacked and spoofed by an imposter. So make sure you go directly to the company's website and don't click on those emails because you never know where it's going.
Christmas time, holiday time, and if you celebrate whatever holiday, there are fake charities out there that are really trying to get you this time of year.
They are, Wendy. The last few weeks of the year are always a busy time for charitable donations. You know, since Giving Tuesday of last week, $4 billion will be given to charities. So the scammers go where the money's at. So they pose as legitimate charities, using, like we mentioned earlier, AI to make it look like it's a celebrity endorsement or something like that. So we say there's a lot of great organizations out there. The Better Business Bureau wants you to give, but give wisely. Make sure you understand what the charity is. And the key, Wendy, is if the charity wants your money today, they're going to want it tomorrow and want it next year. The scammer wants your credit card today, and that's it. So do the research on the charity with bbb.org, and we also own give.org, and get some information before donating.
Okay, and some of these scams I really don't understand. Like, how many times have we gotten a text that says, oh, we are unable to deliver your package, it's UPS or USPS. How does this work? I guess just you clicking on the link, they get your info, right?
Right, it's considered a phishing email or a phishing text. Basically, it's an attempt by a scammer to access your private information or download malware on your device. So they can, you know, get information from you. They can go on your system. So it's best to, again, go to the delivery service itself directly. I can't tell you how many I get in a day of those.
Yeah.
And I have my, you know, my phone since the 80s with the bag phone. So I'm on all these different lists. But, again, they're all fraudulent. And, again, the legitimate ones, make sure you just go to the website if you think it's a legitimate one.
Advent calendars, what?
Never stops. There's more advent calendars for sale than ever we've seen. The ad promises intricate advent calendars filled with gifts and extremely low prices on things, and it's probably too good to be true. So be very careful when all these calendars promise you everything under the moon, and then they just don't deliver these calendars at all. So make sure you check who you're buying it from, and check with the Better Business Bureau and other sources. Just don't buy an advent calendar because you think it's going to be true and accurate.
12 scams of Christmas as presented by the Better Business Bureau, and we've worked our way up to number 12. This one is sad. Go ahead.
It's sad. It's pet scams, and we talk about this quite often, but it seems to be increasing. It always spikes during the holiday season. The Better Business Bureau just did an investigative in November, early November, and we found that French Bulldogs, Dachshunds, and German Shepherds were the most expensive popular breeds that the scammers are luring people in. So basically what it comes down to be that they found these animals are available. They're perfect. They look great. They're pretty inexpensive, some of them, but they got to quickly move on them. And the tip off to the river on these, Wendy, if you can't meet the breeder or see the dog, then something is drastically wrong. So what they do is they start asking you to send in money. Then they'll call you back and say, oh, they need a shot now. Or the cage is too small. Can you get a bigger cage? They keep doing that until you realize that you've been duped. So we had a Glencoe woman who tried to buy cats online, and she kept giving them money, and she gave them almost $1,000 before she cut them off and realized it was a scam. And a lot of these are the one unconventional payment methods like gift cards or, you know, Bitcoins and things of that nature. Use your credit card at all possible, but on pet scams, there's a lot of them online. Make sure you meet the person in person and meet the dog itself, and be careful of the extra charges for cages, vaccines, or shipping costs, whatever it may be.
815 has texted, and this is a great question. All right, I just got a note from a health company telling me that there was a security incident that involved records that included mine, and they were compromised by a hacker. And then they're offering complimentary protection service. I've gotten these letters, too, and I don't believe they're true. Your thoughts?
Well, some are true, some aren't. That's the problem. You don't know who's who, so you got to see who was hacked, what name you were part of, and then make sure you contact that organization directly and see if it's actually legitimate, because the scammers have been known in the past to take those letters and put their website on it, and then all of a sudden, guess what? You're giving them all the information they need to steal your identity. So again, you got to trust where that letter's coming from. You got to find out, do research. Just don't fall for it. And they kind of put the scare tactic in you. Oh, your name has been taken. You know, you're subject to identity. In essence, it's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when it's going to happen to us, Wendy. It happened to me twice already. You can't prevent it, but you got to take steps necessary. Never do something right away. That's the tip off to the rip up. 30-minute rule. That should apply. And check out those offers with the Better Business Bureau and other sources. If you don't find anything, that's a sign too. If you can't find anything on a company online now, something's wrong.
Yeah.
So you got to dig into it deeper.
All right. BBB.org. I'm going to order a pizza in 30 minutes. I'm going to have a drink. And listeners, please don't be embarrassed if this happens to you. We've all been scammed, and we're going to probably continue to be scammed, right?
Exactly. We will be, but report to Scam Tracker, our Scam Tracker, BBB.org, because you can help this preventing from others. But complain if you've been scammed, because we can help you.
Have a great holiday season, Steve.
Happy holidays to you and your listeners, Wendy.
Thanks for talking to us. Steve Burness closing out the noon business lunch today.